let me just update y'all a little bit more, because I found out some more information about this this freshwater program, just because it really seemed to hit a lot of people's hearts last Sunday when we first brought it up. Not only are we providing new sources of clean drinking water for people around the world, apparently a big part of what they do is they also go in and they put filters on existing water sources. So some of these places literally have wells where when they draw it out, there is scum on top of the water. And the mothers just wipe it off as if it was a part of everyday life and hand that water to their babies because they literally have no other choices for water sources. And so what we are doing is we're providing safe space for these children, these tribes, these communities to grow up and have something that we take so everyday common. This year for Advent, I don't know about y'all, but it's kind of been different for me in a very good way. Advent is the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas. That's why we have four candles on the Advent wreath beyond the one in the center, the Christ candle that we typically light on Christmas Eve. And this year, I don't know about y'all, but I've kind of enjoyed it a little bit more. It hasn't seemed as crazy, as frantic, as full. And I think that the reason this is important to me is because I think sometimes we can pack Christmas so tight with so many things, so many events and activities and family coming over and presents and everything else, that if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes we can feel like we almost dread Christmas. And even to go beyond that, as believers in Jesus Christ, I think there's this yearning in us, that there's this angst to want to spend time with our God, to feel like there's this sacred season, this high holy season, where we get a chance just to connect with our God. As we've said throughout this Advent season, to feel like instead of running right past the manger, we've had the opportunity to get on our knees in the hay and just give all of our worship and praise to our God and feel like we have been in His presence. The way we've been going about combating this here at Salem this year is we've been going through a series called The Advent Conspiracy, okay? And what this is we're doing something radical, strange, and different, and going back to the old way the church used to celebrate the Advent season. And more specifically for us, what we're doing is we're adopting three challenges. By the way, if you're reading the book that we've been going through, The Advent Conspiracy, if you haven't finished chapter 5, please do so, and go ahead and finish chapter 6 as well, and that'll take you the rest of the way through the book. Very short chapters. But the way we're doing this is we're taking on three challenges. Did you notice that for our Advent reading this year, instead of having a high liturgy where it's something that is read and then the church responds and we light a candle and it's read and the church responds and we light a candle, that this year we've chosen to make it simple. We've just invited a few people up to tell a story. And what I've done is I've said, come up here and just take a few minutes to tell us anything God has done in your life. I don't care when it was, what it was, if it was for your neighbor, your friend, anything God has done. And then read a short writing and scripture to help us understand why we light this candle, and that's it. And the idea behind this of making Christmas more simple, of being okay if we don't go overboard on the parties and the decorations, is instead what we're doing is we're creating space for us to actually spend time with each other and with our God. The second part of this we talked about last week, which is creating money space. So not just time space, but money space. I challenged you to spend less this Christmas, okay? I said instead of giving gifts that we're pretty sure they're either going to re-gift or going to end up in the back of the closet, or honestly, we spend hundreds of dollars on things we don't even know if they're going to like, right? What other time of the year do we honestly do that? If I said, hey, Go buy something for $200 you're not even sure if your spouse is going to like during February, you're going to think I'm nuts. But isn't that exactly what we do at Christmas? I hope not. And so instead what we said is, what if we make our gift-giving an act of worship? What if we prayed about what they really needed? What if we did something that would really touch their hearts and their lives? And that's kind of what sparked this whole thing of giving the gift of water to our loved ones during Christmas. So this last week, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about creating mind space or brain space. We're going to talk about the fact that sometimes it's really easy to get so caught up in everything we got to do that we never feel like we actually spend time with people. Of making sure everything's perfect, the house is in order, everything's ready for the family, that we never actually, even if we're physically with them, we're never actually mentally with them. Well, we're going to talk about the fact that we need to set aside time and be okay if everything isn't as perfect as we wish it could be. Because at the end of the day, God wants your heart, not your perfection. Your family wants your time, not the perfection of the decorations. They're more interested in you. And I don't know about you, but the freedom of not having all this pressure has really helped me. And I've actually really enjoyed this Advent season more than I typically do. The way we're going about doing this is we're going through the three Gospels that talk about the Christmas story. And we're unpacking all three of them. Matthew, Luke, and John are the only ones that really talk about the Christmas story. And what's really unique about John's approach to this is where Matthew and Luke kind of tell the narrative of what happened. He talks about Mary and Joseph and the journey to Bethlehem and all that. John kind of takes this very creative, fun, artistic approach. And he doesn't really talk about what happened, but more so he talks about why it happened. I mean, just in the short few verses we're about to read, John, in his own really creative, artistic, almost eclectic way, he tells the creation story, okay, how the world came to be. He tells about salvation, and he tells the Christmas story. So if you have your Bibles, grab them with me. It'll also be on the screen. Open up to John 1, verses 1 through 5 and 10 to 14. John 1, verses 1 to 5 and 10 to 14. Listen to this from the Word of God. And remember, Jesus is referred to as the Word. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Verse 10. He came into the very world He created, but the world didn't recognize Him. He came to His own people, and even they rejected Him. But to all who believe Him and accept Him, He gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. Here's the Christmas story. So the Word became human and made His home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen His glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. The Word of God for you, the people of God. In our series that we've been going through, the author tells a story about a lady he knows that actually ends up being his wife, who had a friend. And for Christmas, what she did was that this friend went around secretly to all of her friends and her family and everybody else. And she gathered all these notes from people. And she had to badger a few of them to actually get it because they wouldn't read, turn them in. But she got these stories. She got pictures. She got artwork, all kinds of things. And then she took the time to put it all in order and make it into an album. And it wasn't just some cheap Walmart, quick $5 thing. She actually made it into this beautiful leather-bound album. And on Christmas morning, instead of being there to see the look on her face, this friend actually said to the family, "I don't want to be there." Because that's a very special time for her and for you guys. And as I read this story, honestly, it reminded me a little bit of this. The last church that my family and I worshiped with, that I served as pastor, that they recognized how much I love, artifacts and antiquities from the Bible and finding really cool hidden things. And one family actually took time to make this over 20-foot scroll. And they went around to the entire church. And they asked them to submit notes and pictures and art. And what they did, thank you. It's a little upside down, but that's okay. What they did was they put their names under the picture so I'd never forget them. They wrote notes, and they included things from sermons. And if you see, there's a piece of wood there. That's from a workshop that we used to do where we would build things and sell them and raise money for those in need. Do you think I spent hours looking at this thing? I mean, do you think that this right here, I've gone over this so many times. I have laughed at some of this sarcastic stuff. I have cried over this. I mean, what would make us take a moment to sit down on Christmas morning and say, I'm going to spend 2 hours looking at this one gift because it changed me, it touched me just that much. Thank you. You know, one of the things we say here in the church so much, we use this word that Jesus was incarnated. And you need to understand, incarnation doesn't just mean that Jesus came in a physical form and that he lived with us, walked with us, that he spent time with us and even died, thanks, Gene, that he died on the cross for our sins. The word incarnation, what that means is that he became real for us. He became real in our individual lives. That just like a wonderful moment with your mom or your dad or a friend, that it touched you on a very personal level. And as I was digging around in the scripture, I found something that really hit me. I never noticed this in this scripture before. John says, in the beginning, the Word already existed, right? Jesus. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in verse 14, he says, the Word became human and made his home among us. Now, what's interesting is that word among us, in the original Greek, literally translated, it means he pitched his tent. Okay? He pitched his tent here. And what's really interesting about that is that the Greek word used there is actually connected to an Old Testament word that refers to the tabernacle in the wilderness. Now, if you're not familiar with that story, when the Egyptians let the Israelites go after generations of slavery, they spent 40 years in the wilderness, okay? And God instructed them to make this tent, this movable tent. And for them, it was the presence of God among them. And so what John is really saying in his own creative, fun way, as he's trying to talk about why Jesus came, not just how he came, it is really what he's saying here is Jesus has become the movable presence of God among us. And what's really neat is if we keep digging into this, okay, the scripture says that we are the body of Christ. I mean, God uses us to do his good and holy works, to impact other people's lives. He calls us all the time to love them, to care for them, to walk with them, right? And when we accept Christ in our heart, not only does he dwell in us, but in many ways, are we not the movable presence of God in other people's lives? I mean, the reality is some of the people you're about to celebrate Christmas with don't go to church. Some of them may have never even cracked open a Bible in their life. The most they know about Jesus is the plastic figures they see on people's lawns. Okay? You may literally be the only Bible another person ever reads. And so you are, in a sense, the literal presence of God among them. And so here's John. It almost seems like he's having fun with the scripture, right? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh. You know, it almost seems like he's being creative and having some fun with this. So what if, instead of feeling like we need to always be preachy at people, we had fun with being the presence of God in our family's lives about this time of the year? What if, either the week before or after Christmas, our families just knew, hey, mom and dad are going to the soup kitchen and just spend one day loving on people. And y'all can come with or without us, but we're going. What if they knew that grandpa and grandma, they're going to community cares in Havana on Saturday, whether it's a Saturday before or after Christmas or sometime in the month of December, just because I'm going to love on people. And y'all can come with me, but it's happening with or without you. Calvary United Methodist Church in Tallahassee, which isn't too far away from here, every Monday at 11 o'clock, they have a listening cafe. Now, if you don't know this, that end of town is very heavily populated with homeless people. And what they found is there's a lot of homeless people that do have some mental concerns, but there is safe people there. But it's because of that that people avoid them like the plague. They hardly ever have anyone to talk to. And so they go there knowing they're going to get a free meal, but beyond that no one's really going to be donating to them or giving them stuff. What if we just decided to go and be the presence of God and just sit with somebody and just let them talk for a little while? You know, what if even something more simple, something that doesn't feel as overwhelming, if those things are kind of overwhelming to you? What if on Christmas morning we had all the fun of celebrating and presents and everybody over in pajamas and whatever your family does? And then as now we have so much more stuff, what if that evening we made it a tradition to go through our other things and collect to give away, because we now have other things to replace them with, stuff that we never use anyways? And what if we made it clear the reason we're doing this is because Jesus calls us to feed the hungry and clothe those in need and take care of the homeless? What if that's just a small little way to literally be the presence of God, to make the presence of God become part of your family story? I mean, what if we just took time on Christmas morning, right before the presents are opened, or sometimes, you know, after lunch because their minds are so much on the presents, to just read the 20 verses of the Christmas story? Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20, right? Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. Where is it at in the Bible? It won't take but 5 minutes. But if just for that moment, we help them understand, this is why we're doing what we're doing, you have the opportunity to help God's love story be incarnated, to speak into, to impact your loved ones' personal lives. I mean, the reality is, isn't that exactly why we're doing all of this? All the money we spend, all the gifts, the decorations, the 24-course meal this, you know, on Christmas evening, all that stuff, it's because we want them to find love. It's because we want our loved ones to find joy. And so what if we just find a way for us to turn it, to make it more about the reality of what Christ is all about in a way that's organic to our family and our loved ones? The first couple of times someone reads a scripture, it can actually throw you off a little bit. If you're not used to hearing the scripture, the whole thing of Jesus being the Word can kind of sound strange. But what you need to understand about this is John is using the Greek word logos. And logos isn't specifically about a spoken word or just a written word. The word logos literally means the living word, the word that brings life into people. And we've talked a little bit about that here in the past. But something that kind of struck me about that this time is the reality is Jesus, in order for him to be the Word in our lives, means he had to talk to us, right? I mean, without talking to us, it's kind of pointless. Because you're going to miss it all. You're not going to hear anything. It's not going to impact you. You're never going to read this if God never spoke to us. How many of us just need to start the process of making the presence of God real in our loved ones' lives by just talking to them? What if this Christmas, instead of expecting a fight when so-and-so shows up, you just go up to them and say, Merry Christmas, and walk to the other end of the room before a fight can break out and stay there for the other end, the rest of the evening if you need to. And just be okay with that moment of creating God in their life. What if there's some little things you need to let go of the past in order to not fear that time with family? What if there's some things that you need to just say, that's just their personality? And honestly, December 26th, it ain't going to matter for another year anyways. What if you need to sit down and just say, look, we need to talk about this. You may not know, but you really hurt me. Or I'm sorry, because I know I wounded you. In that moment, would you be incarnating Jesus in a very personable and deep and sacred way? You know, this scroll probably cost them all of $20 to make. But they couldn't have spent $1 million and impacted me more than this. I mean, for our loved ones, who says Christmas has to only be right then, on December 25th, right? Well, why can't we give them a gift that goes beyond Christmas? How many people do we love that the greatest gift we give them is somewhere to go on Christmas morning? How many people do we love that the greatest gift we could give them is to say, here's a card that says on the inside, I'm taking you out to lunch just so we can talk. Or out to coffee. There's a story of a young man who gave his dad a pound of coffee for Christmas. And he gave it to him with a card that had a stipulation on there, you're not allowed to drink this without me. Now, was the gift really about the coffee? No. He wanted to sit with his dad. He wanted to talk with him. Imagine the hours it would take to go through an entire pound of coffee that way, right? He wanted to hear his life story, how he became a man. He wanted to hear about the things he'd been through, share life together. He wanted to talk with him. And in that space, create a moment where there could be an incarnation of a spirit that goes beyond this world and this life. To share the wrestling of what they've been through spiritually. To share the things of God that brings them both joy and concern and hope and everything in between in that space. You know, there's another family that I recently heard about that tried the whole give everybody in the family a gift thing, and they decided this is just way too expensive. So that they did the draw a hat out of the name, or a name out of the hat thing, you know? Yeah, the hat out of the name. And they just found this to be very superficial. Everybody just get one person a gift, and oh, I don't know what I want. So one year they took a huge risk. And they told everyone in the family, donate to your favorite charity. That's your gift. And then Christmas morning they sat around together, and they shared which charities they gave to and why that charity was important to them. And they said it was one of the most meaningful, beautiful, sacred Christmases they've ever had. Just this last week, I was actually just talking to people in some of the shops in downtown Havana. I didn't even bring up this whole topic. And they started saying, I got to tell you what my kids are doing for me for Christmas. I'm a little scared of it, to be honest. She said that her 14-year-old and 17-year-old kids said for Christmas this year, yesterday, Saturday, they wanted to spend the day listen with the parents listening to their music, okay? And the kids said them listening to their parents' music. And then the four of them, a boy and a girl with dad and mom, would go out and everyone would have $100. And the point was that they had to give $50 away to someone who looked like they needed it. And the other 50, they had to buy clothes for each other. The daughter bought for mom, mom bought for the daughter. The son bought for dad, dad bought for the son. And this was all the kid's idea. Do you think that's a Christmas they're going to quickly forget? Do you think in some beautiful, sacred, strange way that there is a presence, a light, as John called it, that broke into their life story? Now, the reality is, y'all, as we've been talking about this whole time, I mean, when we give a gift to somebody that says, because of you, four people will now have clean drinking water for the rest of their lives. Some of our loved ones are going to well up with tears and they're just going to be really touched. And some of them are going to go, okay, where's the gift? Right? The reality is, y'all, we're taking a risk this Christmas season. We're taking a crazy risk in our loved ones showing up and us not having as big of decorations or a 14-course meal. by making Christmas more simple. We're taking a risk and not giving our grandkids 20 gifts, but maybe 2 or 3 or 4 that really means something to them. We're taking a risk by creating brain space and making the gifts more personable than just full. Right? And the reality is, love doesn't happen without risk. True love always requires true risk. I mean, even before Jesus came down to this earth, and he died on the cross for our sins, you have to imagine what he must have went through, just the reality of stepping out of perfection and into our brokenness, into a place where there is pain and suffering and hatred, knowing exactly how people were going to treat him. Jesus took great risk by the Word becoming human among us. And I think that sometimes, in order for us to bring Jesus into other people's lives, honestly, the only way to make it truly impactful is that for there to be a true risk involved. And so here's my challenge for y'all this Christmas season. As we are literally in the mix of Christmas Eve right now, you've already been taking risks. So many of you have told me how much this Christmas season has meant to you because you have permission not to go overboard, because there's a peace. You get to spend time with people and with your God. You felt closer to God than ever before in the mix of all of this. We are going to make assumptions, okay? Sometimes we are going to assume they're not going to like what we're doing. Sometimes we're going to assume that they are. So if we're going to make assumptions anyways, what if we're going to assume on some level that it's going to touch their lives? That something of Jesus in the servanthood, in the telling of the story, in the way we love, the way we're radically different this year, that something is going to take seed, even if they're never brave enough to say it out loud to us. If we're going to make assumptions anyways, let's assume on the side of God's love. And so, y'all, I challenge you that is, you've already found some joy and peace and hope in the mix of all this crazy, to assume that with great risk, great love can be achieved. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father God, help us to create sacred space for the Word to become flesh in us for our loved ones, for them to hear and see Jesus anew, for perhaps some of us who have felt distant from you for so long, for us to feel close to you again. Heavenly Father God, we pray that as we seek to renew our hearts in preparation to once again celebrate the birth of your Son, that we would find a sacred space where we have bumped into you in a very personal and love-filled way. We offer ourselves, our praise, our hopes this season in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen.